The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. This is a numbers game. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm good. You have any JJ Spawn by any chance?
Nah.
It's early.
I was trying to tell Dave Ross, though, there could be more surprising guys at the top. JJ Spawn ain't no joke.
No, he ain't no joke. He used to let the mic smoke.
That's right.
Here's the thing about JJ Spawn today. This year, by the way, just to give you an update, JJ Spawn, 4 under currently at the United States Open at Oakmont. In Oakmont, Pennsylvania, a 1-stroke lead over your boy, Gary Woodland. Do you have any Gary Woodland?
Nope, which I would have. I don't want to say extreme FOMO because I didn't really get close to Gary this week.
Okay. 2-stroke lead over some names. Oberg, which I know you do have.
That's
Ludwig
right.
Oberg. Rory McIlroy, also 2 under.
Rory coming for them receipts this week, Gil.
Yeah, he's like...
Two bad weeks, everybody's been talking crap.
I've heard everybody talking about me. Watch this. Siwoo Kim also 2 back. A whole bunch of guys 2 back. But John Michael Spawn. Why is he JJ, by the way? His name's John Michael.
Oh, no idea. Siwoo is the one at the in the top of the leaderboard right now, first page of the leaderboard, that would be the FOMO. Because I got very close to betting him, not really outright, but top 20s, top 10s, and stayed away.
JJ Spawn this year on tour. Best results, T3 at the Sony Open in Hawaii to start the year. Tied for second at the Cognizant Classic in February, at the end of February. Then, of course, most famously, lost in a playoff to Rory, right, at the mm-hmm. Players' Championship.
Yep.
That was his best result. And then since then, he's kind of, he did finish T6 at the Charles Schwab, but that's his only notable result since the Players' Championship. Missed the cut last week at the Memorial. Read into that whatever you want to. But that's, you know, the best he's ever done at a major, T23 at a Masters. So here he is again, very early. Dave was also upset that we have 11 golfers under par. He was very angry about this.
I kind of just made up a number. Is that what it is, though? I think it is.
It's
like
it's close to 13 that. Under par.
He's saying this is the Oakmont. This is not the Oakmont we were promised. I said, Dave, let's give it more than an hour or two. Okay, let's see how the afternoon conditions play out. But there are a lot of big names, as you usually see at a U.S. Open, that are not doing well, including one I bet on, Shane Lowry, 3 over par through 7 holes. So he's struggling mightily out there.
Bryson's 3 back. Bryson's lurking.
Yeah, he's 3 back. I'm talking 3 over par for Lowry. Hideki's 3 over par.
Yeah.
Cameron Smith, 2 over. Akshay Batia, 2 over. Matt Fitzpatrick, 2 over. Xander Schauffele, 2 over. Keegan Bradley, 2 over. So there are plenty of good golfers out there struggling.
Scheffler yet to tee off.
Scheffler yet to tee off, and I think a good note by the books, guys. Check prices right now if you're interested in Scheffler. He's about 3-1, a little over 3-1, I think, you can get right now if you want.
Slightly more favorable price than you would have gotten in pre-flop with the start by Spawn and some others. To the NBA, well, first of all, on the show today, by the way, usually Thursdays are Zach and Crack. No Zach today. Zach is on assignment, as we like to say here on the show. But Crack will be here. Crack will be here a segment earlier because we're going to get him out a segment earlier because we're going to talk to Stormy and JVT live from Omaha, the College World Series today. The co-host of Money Moves, Stormy and JVT later on the show. But Crack before that, and a little segment of Are We Sure coming up as well. Estamos Seguros.
That's right.
As well. Look forward to that. NBA last night. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, well, well. Look at that Indiana Pacers squad. Up 2-1 now in the best of 7 NBA finals. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday and did so while obviously covering the spread. They were 5.5-point dogs pre-flop. They win it outright by the score. What was it? 116-107 final score in this one. It goes under, by the way. VSiN Challenge. Fezzik gets another win. So it's a two-man race. Fezzik and Zach Cohen at the top of the VSiN Killer Sports Challenge.
It's not that I've forgotten. I have still yet to make a bet in the finals.
A few people have yet to make a bet. I think a few people are just like, I'm done.
Actually, I think I played game one, so I might have been, already down one if that's the case.
It's Fezzik in first. It's Zach Cohen in second. First prize, $3,000. Second prize, $500. And I'm in third, and only 2 people get money. So there you go. I cannot get to first or second. it is a two-man race. Kazarian could get to second. We're the only four that are still alive here. He could get to second if he starts making plays, but he could also finish third or fourth. I could finish only third or fourth. So Fezzik with the edge over Zach. And remember, there's a tiebreaker involved. The tiebreaker is, who did you pick as the NBA champion? I don't know if either took the Indiana Pacers or not, but
I started off so hot, Gil. So hot.
Yeah, this is the thing, and I said this to Steve yesterday. I'm like, there's a difference between me and you. I have the under in game two. 130 points are scored in the second half, so I lose. It gets to 230. You last night have the under. There's like 120 some points scored in the first half, and you luck box your way into a win. That's the story with that kid. Good for him, though. So I hope he and Zach battle it out to the end. Fezzik has one more pick, and Zach has two more. But as for the game last night, this is getting real.
Real quick.
The Indiana Pacers, and it was a topsy-turvy game, and we could go through all the roller coaster. By the way, if you are not watching the NBA playoffs, I know there's a lot of people who are making themselves feel good about missing some of the NBA playoffs, but say, oh, it's been terrible. No, it hasn't. It's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this game last night, 15 to 6 run for OKC to start the game. Indiana cut it to 2 at 22-20, but then OKC surged to a 10-4 run at the end of the first quarter, 32-24. Later in the second quarter, there was a 15-4 run by the Pacers to start the quarter. They took the lead by three. OKC caught them. Then they scored. Pacers did 7 unanswered late in the second quarter to go up 49-42. It was part of a 25-10 run, but OKC caught them at 51. Little Pacers run at the end of the half, 64-60 Indiana at halftime. Bench scoring at that point, 30-11. The Thunder would score the first 8 of the second half to go up 4. Pacers would score 6 to retake the lead. Then Halliburton came alive. Pacers took the lead again, 79-76. And then OKC with a 13-5 run to end the quarter to take a 5-point lead into the fourth. And I just want to bookmark it there because to me, this game, and then the stats, you know, the final stats of this game are that the Indiana bench, we'll get to that. Williams in defeat for the OKC. Williams 26, SGA 24, Holmgren 20-10 for Indiana. Just an amazing performance by so many. But I want to seize on the bench and specifically TJ McConnell. Indiana's bench outscored OKC's bench 49-18 in this game, and it was the story of the game. But McConnell, by the way, Mathurin led the Pacers with 27. Halliburton, 22-9-11, a rebound shy of a triple-double.
Thank God.
So, again, for those like Perk who said he can't do things in this series, well, there's your answer. Siakam, 21. Of those 49 points that Indiana scored off the bench, 10 of them were from TJ McConnell. TJ McConnell ended up with a scoring line of 10 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals in 15 minutes. He's the first NBA player since the 1973-74 finals to put up those numbers. He's now averaging 10 points, 5 assists, 2.7 steals during these finals in just over 60 minutes per game. But he had 5 steals, and I just want to highlight 3 of them because if you don't see this in a box score. But last night, there was three of his 5 steals were off inbounds passes after Indiana Pacers baskets. The first one, Siakam had a layup that cut it to 32-26. This is in the second quarter. McConnell steals it from Cason Wallace. On an inbounds pass. It was intended for Holmgren. He immediately dishes it to Siakam, McConnell does, who misses a three. McConnell gets the offensive board. He feeds Mathurin for a 4-footer to cut it to 4. Another time, Nesmith scores to make it 34-32 right after that. McConnell, faking like he's running down court, hits the brakes as Wallace inbounds, steals it again, throws it off of Wallace to maintain possession. And then the biggest play of the game, and I would argue it is hard to distill any series into one game, let alone one play. But if Indiana goes on to win this series, and I would argue once again, it would be the greatest, most improbable run of any postseason in any North American team sport we've ever seen, based on the 4 games where they've won with 2% win probability on average in those 4 games, 1 in each of these series. But if they do, and you could distill it to anything beyond those amazing late game plays by Halliburton, it's 95-91 OKC last night. And you sort of, this is the fourth quarter, you sort of feel like, wow, the Pacers put up a great effort tonight, but I don't know if they're going to get home. And if they lose this game, I don't know if they have any chance of winning this series. And Nembhard hits a 15-footer to cut it to 95-93. This is with 8:39 left in the game. Caruso tries to get it into SGA. This is again on the inbounds pass right after that. I don't know if McConnell's invisible to him or whatever, but McConnell, with his, you know, little self compared to the other players, jumps as high as he can, steals the ball, puts it right up, bank shot, snatches it, and it's 95-95. And the rest of the way, the rest of the way, the Pacers would outscore the Thunder 21-12, and they win it once again by the final of, was that 106 to...
116-107.
116-107, pardon me. So that's... I mean, that to me, McConnell was that will always be for me the TJ McConnell game.
I didn't want to interrupt at all, Gil, because I completely agree with you. I mean, that was it, and it started early. First quarter was OKC. Second quarter, McConnell and Mathurin check in. Those two took over right away, and there's not many games that we've seen this OKC. I mean, like, it is the classic story if you want to go to this narrative, right? The classic story of the bench and the role players show up bigger at home, right? And it's OKC, the role players in the bench gave them absolutely nothing last night. Indiana bench house scores OKC 49-18. But it was so much of McConnell and the magic beans that he always brings to these basketball
magic
games.
Magic beans.
That he shows up and those steals on the inbounds passes, just motion. Motion stuff they get these NBA players are so used to doing and turning the ball over because McConnell just gives them a bit of a head fake. And it was him and Mathurin were the differences in this game. Halliburton looked much more comfortable at home. This is a series, man.
Pacers installed once again as 6-point favorites in game four, 6-point dogs in game four. I'll play them again, just like I did last night and in the contest. I'm out of bullets in the contest, but I'll play them again. I'll bet them. Give me the points.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros we invite you to. Take a look, sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Meeting the Book. Actually, we get text as well. Jay Sullivan, our old buddy Jay Sullivan, listening to us, enjoying you and Kelly from the Hard Day's Night Hotel in Liverpool. Wow. Very flattered that you would listen to us from there, Jay. Appreciate it. Hope you're having a good time. Martle J, what's Team Semite going to do with all of Vison and Omaha? Maybe a latke and matzo ball soup segment tomorrow? I don't know. They didn't really leave us anything behind, so we'll see what, you know, we'll just pay for it ourselves. Sure. Let's see. Jay Buckley, 10 days till back in Vegas for contest signups, circus shenanigans, and hopefully seeing you guys while we're out there. Can't wait. Jay, come by and say hello. And C. Spackler tweets in, yay, crack. I just like typing that. Without further ado, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger. Ah, there he is.
Morning.
In the flesh.
Yes.
It's Bill Krakenberger, everybody. For those who are new to the show, iconic gambling figure here in Las Vegas, Nevada, with his Kangol. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Sorry I failed to tell you that I was out last week.
Oh, no. Is that okay? I came down and no one else wants me on except for you. So they just said, no, Bill, you can't come on. So I just walked out and went home.
No, you didn't come down here, did you? No, Kelly got to you.
Kelly
first.
Got me the day before.
I apologize. Usually I remember. We were just talking off air. So this is a week where a couple musical icons have passed away.
Yeah.
Both at the age of 82. Mm. Sly Stone a few days ago. Who I consider Sly and the Family Stone their own musical genre themselves. I don't think they sounded like anybody else. And then Brian Wilson passes away. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys passes away at the age of 82, who you loved. And Brian Wilson, you know, responsible for hits like Surfin' USA, I Get Around, obviously big hits like that. Wouldn't It Be Nice? I mean, Good Vibrations, it goes on and on. All those iconic Beach Boys sounds. And while the two of those guys were nothing alike musically, they were similar in the fact that nothing sounded like the Beach Boys either.
Yeah.
They were their own
thing. Music guy in general. Yeah. Just, I love music. So And Sly and the Family Stone. Oh my God, Sly was everyday people. That's all I could tell you. Like, there was a version of Kermit the Frog did a version with somebody, and it was so good though.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton and Kermit the Muppets was a big show back, you know, years ago, and they did a version. But Brian, it's funny. I was just talking to I have a buddy of mine that's on Twitter, Margin Call, and we were just talking a couple weeks ago about Brian. Didn't know he was going to die.
Yeah.
Just talking about the musical genius of Brian Wilson. So to see it so sudden and it didn't come out. Listen, the guy's 82. You know, you want to say, "Oh my God, where do I sign up to live to 82?" But then when you get to that age,
of course,
you know, it comes as a shock and sudden, and you don't want it to happen anyway. But, you know, my buddy said he was a musician's kind of musician, like Mark Knopfler or someone that's in the industry. There's certain bands that guys were like so in the beginning of their careers as kids. I'm not talking about, you know, as 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you just knew they were going to make it in the music industry.
Yeah.
And Brian was one of them. If you ask any musician, if you isolate all the instruments, it doesn't make sense until they come together. And that's what the Beach Boys did. Even though I didn't have the Beach Boys on play, but I would listen to one of the songs if it was on.
Yeah.
You know?
I was not necessarily a Beach Boys fan either. In fact, I was not a fan, but like, I appreciate any musical artist that is, their sound is so different. Like, because most folks, there's some derivative nature to it, right? It's a copycat to some degree.
Yes.
But you can't really detect it in either Sly and the Family Stone or the Beach Boys music. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a documentary called Promised Road that was out. It's been out for a while, but just to give you an idea, and I'm sure they'll come out with something now on his life. But
yeah,
as we get older, we go to more funerals than weddings.
And so sad. And Sly had a documentary. I think Questlove had a documentary about Sly, so I want to see that as well. Or at least he was part of the documentary. I want to see that.
All right, now can we get into some of these idiots that I'm mad about?
Yes.
Okay. Golf Channel betting analyst.
Oh, boy.
You know what this idiot said?
Hmm.
Sometimes in golf, just like roulette, the trend is your friend.
Oh, boy.
So, in other words, you're telling me because 10 blacks in a row came out,
that's
or 10
right.
reds in a row came out, the trend is your friend. This is the people that we have. By the way, he is their gambling expert. He's not just an analyst. He's their gambling expert, go-to guy. No, I'm not going to bury him.
Okay.
You know, I'm not really... I really don't do that. I don't really throw people under the bus. Yeah. People know who he is. I don't think it's a nice look when you go after individuals and people.
Do you know what I appreciate about the Tennis Channel when they delve into gambling?
Yeah.
That they don't try to deep dive it. That they, you know, Brett Haber is their lead,
okay.
Lead play-by-play guy. And Brett is smart enough to know a money line conversion to a percentage. And he leaves it at that. And I think for the Tennis Channel audience, that's a beautiful thing to have that much knowledge. Oh, minus 370 after this person wins the first set means that she or he is a blank percentage probability to win the rest of the match. And they just sort of leave it at that.
Right.
They don't really, even if they have like a sponsor, like a FanDuel or whomever.
Sure.
But Golf Channel tries to go a little deeper, huh?
It's not only that. There's many different, you know, it just so happens that that's the latest one that I've seen. Someone sent it to me. I didn't see it, actually, but they sent it to me. I was like, wow, I had to listen to it again to hear if I heard right. Speaking of which, you know, some people have sent me some things. Last night, someone sent me something. And excuse me for my ADD.
That's all right.
It was something on, like, a video on, like, learning. Here it is. I play this daily roulette strategy daily. So I watched the video. And it was a guy playing, by the way, 73,000 views. A guy playing what, like the bubble craps and the digital roulette. This is actually, there's a wheel. You sit at the wheel and it's like closet gambling. No one knows what you're doing. You have your own machine. You have your own, you can put the numbers. He's showing people a system, how you can play the streets. The street means like the three number streets. And I think you get 11 to 1 on a street, which is obviously it's terrible odds. Roulette's terrible. It's 5.26 if you're betting straight up. Worse on other bets. But the instructional, let's call them instructional because that's what they want to be called. But they're terrible instructional videos that are out there on different gambling things on YouTube. Of course, there's little shorts on their Instagram and TikTok and stuff. But they're so bad. 73,000 people. And you know what? As 164 responses. And guess what? They're all good. oh, thank you. I love this double up system. So the guy was doubling up if he lost those streets, tripling up. I just can't believe people would say, oh, because they just don't know.
But you
and we're too close to the sun, like you say.
You seized on the most important part, which is you expect, because we're too close to the sun, we would expect for someone to be in the comments being like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Nobody.
But nobody is.
Nobody. No,
it's like an army of wow, that's awesome.
There was a slot channel someone sent me. And by the way, I guess people love to watch high-limit slots, and I guess the thrill of it is someone actually betting. So a guy was betting $900 a spin. I watched him yesterday. $900 a spin, and he's supposedly a really nice guy. I'm not throwing him under the bus, because supposedly he's got, by the way, makes millions and millions of dollars. And it's not Vegas Matt, by the way, who I like. But this guy spent $900 a spin, and you're watching him, and he hit for $150,000. And everyone at home's like, wow, oh my God, this is not like, I guess the reason that people don't realize is that he gets paid to do that. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he gets walk-in money, he gets front money, back cash money, and you may even get an appearance fee. I hear some of these slot guys, and good for them, that's fine. But I like someone to be transparent, like Vegas Matt, that come out and said, I lost $360,000 playing last year. So I did lose to show you guys these videos, but he may make millions. I'm sure he makes millions, you know, with his merchandise, his walk-in money, his deals, and you know what I mean?
That little point you made there, though, when I first started a podcast, when Betting Dork started, even before Betting Dork, when I was just decided, I'm going to do a sports betting podcast, the whole innovation was like, and I'm going to tell people when I lose. Like, what a mind-blowing thing was at that time.
That's not going to sell.
Right? I mean, you know, but imagine, like, that. Right. That's because that's what the industry is.
Sure.
Right? Listen, all these sports books, like the same game parlays, there is something about the wiring of the human brain that bet little to win massive amounts of money. If you just tell those stories, people become mesmerized, right? And they know this.
Yes.
And they know this. And that's not the way to be a long-term winner, obviously.
Sure.
But that's the hook.
You know, I've actually resorted to giving in a little bit. By the way, the last one. Someone sent me some one thing. It was a girl scratching $50 lottery tickets. She bought $1,000 in lottery tickets, and she lost. She got back $850, and she got a million views. She's scratching $50 lottery tickets. I mean, it's sick. But I come to the conclusion of, you know what? You're all going to bet your parlays anyway.
Yeah.
I have no problem with someone betting $100 each game straight and betting a $10 five-teamer. Have some fun with that. But the $100, you know, each individual bet of that parlay means more than anything. I would rather not you have that, you know, don't bet the parlay, but I know they're going to do it anyway.
Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks, the name of the podcast, which he does with John Orlando. Coming back unscripted on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by our own Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide, I should say, to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK. That's promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Let's roll through, because we don't have that many bets today, but let's roll through what we have, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Each show, every host, every guest, every sport, with all their plays. I'm on the Pacers, +6, game 4. I was on the Pacers plus the points last night in the contest, and as an actual bet, I don't have any more contest plays, but I'll be betting the Pacers yet again. Give me the points. Also have the Tigers' most wins in June going, and Leon Draisaitl to win Conn Smythe, but the Oilers gotta get off the schneid. Well, they do have one win, so it's not off the proverbial schneid, but you get what I mean. They're down 2-1 to the Panthers. Oilers, not quite a must win, but kind of must win, if you know what I mean, in game 4 tonight in Florida. Kelly is on the Thunder money line game 4. I suppose we could both win then by that outcome. So he's on the Thunder money line game 4. And again, if you're thinking about betting the Pacers on the series price, probably should just bet the Pacers on the money line in game 4, because the chances of them winning the series without winning game 4, probably slim, and you get a better price on the game 4 money line than you do on the series money line price on the Pacers. All of that brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, the GBank trifecta in full effect. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger the $500 trifecta, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards. On your GBank Visa Signature credit card, First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We got tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let's see, Rich PSM. Kelly, you're missing the huge ingredient the Thunder forgot to add. Even Indiana has a veteran with rings to make key plays under pressure. Robert Horry, Chauncey Billups. That's why they'll lose this. Okay. I assume he means Pascal Siakam in terms of that. Montreal Max. I forgot during the first week of the French to compliment Gil and his flawless pronunciation of all tennis players' names weekly. Well done and not easy. And, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Steve the Proxy. R.I.P. Ananda Lewis. Yes, a beautiful spirit. So sad to see her gone way too soon. Fun fact, she won a beauty pageant as a child with a self-choreographed dance to Ebony and Ivory by Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney. Yeah, like I said, what a beautiful soul and spirit. A lot of us were really moved by that yesterday. Oh, yes, and Mike Rouse. I got to bring this up right now. Are you planning to discuss the golf betting lawsuit with Crack, the lawsuit you discussed on Monday? Yes, Crack. I need you to chime in on this. So a dude in Iowa,
right?
$14.2 million he's suing DraftKings for. He, after the third round of the Pebble Pro-Am, Pebble Beach Pro-Am last year, 2024, after the third round, he saw the weather forecast and he said, oh, they might not play this. So I'm going to put in, this is him talking now, this is me acting like he's talking.
Sure.
He goes ahead and puts in parlays where you could do exact positions on the leaderboards. So what he did with the possibility of them scuttling the entire final round, fourth and final round, he ends up putting in parlays on everybody's finishing position, 1 through 20, I believe it was. Anyway, they scuttle the fourth round, as it turns out. They call the tournament after three rounds, and he, quote unquote, makes $14.2 million. Now he's suing DraftKings. DraftKings is like, we're not paying you. I said on Monday, I'm like, well, at first I was on the sportsbook side, then I kind of see what he's saying. I'm not really sure. You?
If it's in the rules that they must play 72 holes, then of course DraftKings has their case and it's over.
I don't think that was in the rules. Okay. I don't think it said 72.
Okay, so if it didn't say they have to complete four rounds of golf, if it didn't say that, you know, he maybe got a little greedy. He could have not won $14 million.
I was going to say.
I mean, he could have won, you know, a couple hundred thousand, and they may have just said, give him his money so we don't have to get the bad press. But instead he went the greedy route, $14 million, and, you know me. I'm on the side of the players 99.9% of the time. So it matters the wording of this. I don't see him getting a grocery dollar.
You don't see him getting a grocery dollar from it.
No, he may get his $300 back.
The DraftKings, let's see, the DraftKings rule was, let's see, unilaterally voided, all five of his bets refunded, citing rules on futures bets, which state they are canceled if they are placed after the last shot of what is later deemed to be the final round of the tournament.
How can they even, why even get, listen, and you know me, I'm like I said, 99.9. Why is this even a case then? If that's the rules and the stated rules, and you took a shot at them without reading the rules, which most people do anyway, I don't even read all the rules on certain things. So there's so many rules. You'd be here to, you know, the end of time. So it shouldn't even be a case.
What they are claiming is that there's other language that then counters that one, that makes it a little more vague. So that's where it becomes a bit of a word salad. What they're saying is they're applying rules however they feel like it, given the circumstance. So in this case, they apply that language.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their claim.
No, well...
You're probably right, though. They probably don't see
it. Trust me. Like I said, in this case, I have to side with a sport. You're betting on an event after it's over. You're betting an event after the event's over.
He clearly knew what he was doing and was taking a shot.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But I'll tell you again, I'm telling you, Gil, if he would have won $100,000,
they'd have given
to avoid the bad press, they would have gave him the money.
Yeah.
Now, just because I know what happens. You got guys like Vegas Paulie C put a video out, a tweet. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what 11 to 10 means. But all he does is put out DraftKings owes them money because it's a, you know, it's the buzz. What's that? There's a show, TMZ. It's the TMZ of, you know, whatever social media it is. So it just makes DraftKings look bad. And I'm, you know, like I said, I don't really like to go after unless I know I'm 100% right.
You know what the lawyer is claiming here? I don't know if he's just pulling this out of his you-know-what, but he says the rules that DraftKings had in place at the time of the tournament did not allow them to void the bets. They changed the rules after the tournament.
Well, that's different then. There could be some settlement here.
Maybe.
And trust me, I'm not allowed to bet at DraftKings, so I'm not allowed to bet on their app. I say I'm not allowed. I'm limited to a couple of grocery dollars. At the counter, they're very good to me. They take $1,000 bets, so they're very good to me. Until that time, I'm not going to, you know, look for reasons to go after them or anyone else.
Thank you, Mike Rouse, for reminding me to bring that up with Crack, though. I intended to do that on Monday. Okay, and then there's something else that's annoying you.
Oh, no, this I mentioned on my podcast, the Hall of Excellence at Fontainebleau. They have this thing, Tom Brady in collaboration with Jim Gray. I'm not a Jim Gray fan to begin with. So
the Pete Rose thing?
Yeah, not even more. He did a couple things in life that I wasn't a fan, just to get himself some press. So they have this fountain at Fontainebleau. It's a Hall of Excellence. It's all different memorabilia from the different athletes. Tiger Woods' first ball from the first Masters he won, and like all different type of things like that. Tom Brady's, a lot of his memorabilia, and there's some great, by the way, some great things there. Air Jordan's first pair of Air Jordans that he ever had that came out with, the bat used by Jackie Robinson to break the color barrier. There's some great things at this.
Did you say first Air Jordans that he ever wore? Is that what you said?
Michael Jordan's first pair of Air Jordans in 1984, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also the first NBA championship shoes that were worn by Michael Jordan.
Jackie Robinson's first bat?
Jackie Robinson's first bat. Some really cool things.
Wow.
Super Bowl rings, Muhammad Ali's gloves he wore against a great fight against Shivalo. There's some great things here. My thing is, why are you charging $35 to get in?
I knew that.
$20 for
it.
Kids to get in.
Yeah.
Do you know the foot traffic? Something. By the way, I'm only mentioning one or like five things. It's 150 items here. But I just think about, you know, us walking through Hard Rock and all the stuff we see for free memorabilia.
Yes.
And
all
it's
of that
good
rock and
walk-in
roll stuff.
Traffic.
Yes.
You know, you get walk-in traffic and people come in. And then now what do? They come in for free to see the thing. Let's gamble here. Let's go to Mother Wolf and
exactly.
Spend $500.
Yeah.
Let's gamble a little bit. This is just I can't take the gouging. And listen, it's too strong of a word, gouging, for this situation. I don't mean to say it, but why not just have the foot traffic come into your casino? You're a failed casino. You're doing the guy that runs Fontainebleau you know, he's in the marketing and stuff. He doesn't even like gamblers. One thing about Derek Stevens, I said it yesterday. Even Steve Wynn. They were gamblers, so they love gamblers. Derek Stevens loves gamblers because he gambles. He gets it. He knows the pulse of the industry. So, but these casinos with guys with college degrees that never gambled before and don't know the pulse of the industry, I use that word a lot. It's a shame that, listen, I understand this is a great thing to do if you're coming from out of town. You want to. I'll stick by what I said. You can't be charging $20 to get in, $35, $20 for kids to get in just to see some memorabilia where, you know, it's not like you're going to the Boxing Hall of Fame where you're going to pay to get in, or even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
100% agree.
You know what I mean? It's Vegas. It makes great foot traffic. Why charge people?
That was part of the Hard Rock's charm.
That's it.
All of that memorabilia.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Free for your eyes to see.
Yep.
Bill, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Crackman. Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Krakenman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks, the name of his podcast. Stormy and JBT live from Omaha, the College World Series next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live from Circa, numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside as well. Hey, real quick, update to the U.S. Open leaderboard. It started out real fast for a bunch of golfers in the first round of the U.S. Open at Oakmont, Pennsylvania. It has gotten pretty stagnant since, but J.J. Spaun has not given any strokes back. 4 under through 15. He is the leader by 2 shots over Siwoo Kim, Gary Woodland, and Thomas Dietrich. A 3-stroke lead over some bigger names like Ludwig Ober and Rory McIlroy. That's where it stands right now. J.J. Spaun, who has pretty much led coast to coast thus far, the first round of the United States Open from Oakmont. So obviously, we'll have full coverage and live betting notes from the tournament all day long right here at VSiN. In the meantime, most of the network is having themselves a ball. They're in Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series. What a scene down there. This is at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha. Check it out. Look at the old Jell-O Shot Challenge. Look at that. We, of course, VSiN hosts, have our own odds associated with that. I believe that Derek Stevens himself, the owner of Circa, is still the short shot to win it. And there is the two co-hosts of Money Moves, which follows us, each and every day here on the network. Stormy Bonatoni and JVT live from Rocco's. How you guys doing?
Good. It's been a fun start already, and we've already seen the first Jell-O shots, by the way, be purchased at the counter. Coastal Carolina with an early lead, JVT.
So I feel great, Gil. I feel plucky and spry and ready to go, and in no way, shape, or form do I already feel the effects of a first night out here in Omaha.
No, that doesn't sound suspicious at all. Derek Stevens plus 350 in the VSiN Jell-O Shot Challenge. The field now at 4-1 is in second. JVT has been steamed to plus 550. Stormy. Still feisty at plus 825. All right. Good luck to you guys on that.
Hey, I like that I got a little bit of an adjustment there.
Yeah.
Down from the 12-1. I'm getting played, guys. I'm getting played. That's exciting.
A little inside baseball, though. If you want to go and get down on some inside information, if Mitch Moss is going to do what he did last night, I'd run out to bet Mitch Moss.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay. That is some inside information. Hey, what about, so let's just talk about the games themselves for a second. I want to get your thoughts, JVT, you on the NBA, Stormy, obviously you on game four of the Stanley Cup final. But about the College World Series, do you have any bets for the two games today, either of you?
I mean, I don't have anything individually. I do have an LSU to win it all ticket at 6-1. So we're going to be purchasing Jell-O shots because we are a very pro LSU show. She's got her loyalties, as do I. So I'll be sitting there and sweating that out. And we'll have some action, I think, too, because we're going to be sitting in there and we could just cross the skywalk to go over to Iowa and get in on some of this stuff, too. So for the games that are going to start tomorrow, maybe just for one while we're sitting there watching the late game, Gil, but I'll be sweating out this LSU future.
Yeah, no first game action for me just yet. But with the way that the regionals and super regionals played out with so many upsets, I do like just taking a shot on Murray State in some way, shape, or form. Have a little fun. Don't let the racers get hot. See if they can pull off a Fresno State in 2008, something like that. And then Matt Grissom, who we're going to have on the show coming up in just a little bit on Money Moves, in one of his write-ups about the College World Series, he recommended the angle of backing the loser of Arkansas LSU. Just getting like a little bit of a better number if you're somebody who's just jumping in on the College World Series odds. And I think that's something that I might take as an approach too.
Right, because one of those two SEC teams, if they are to get to the promised land, they will do it from the quote-unquote loser bracket, because obviously LSU and Arkansas playing each other tomorrow. Two games tonight are the two games in bracket one, Arizona, Coastal Carolina, with Coastal a minus 230 money line favorite, and Louisville, Oregon State with the Oregon State Beavers, independent minus 160 favorites over Louisville here. By the way, just this before we move away from the College World Series, for those who are like, okay, I want to just bet on this based on crowd support, what are your two guys' feelings on the most representative of these clubs at this point?
I mean, it's everything we're talking to, everybody we're talking to, we keep hearing LSU. Like, that's at least everything that I have heard up to this point. So, like, we're talking about, you've brought this up, throwing tailgate skill for, like, before games that they're not even playing in, things like that. So, I would say if you're just going on home field advantage, it sounds like the Tigers are going to have a lot of support just talking to people out here.
But I would also say, and coincidentally, Arkansas being the team that they're playing and the favorite to win it all right now, they've been apparently telling everybody, just wait for us to get out here. So we'll see if that maybe changes the game a little bit. But I've been to the College World Series in the past, and to JVT's point, years that LSU's not even in it, they're tailgating and their fans are out here. So now that their team is so good and has such a good chance to win it all once again, I feel like they're going to have the advantage here.
All right. Is this a situation where you guys are broadcasting from Rocco's, where people are going to be all like on top of you when you're doing your show today?
Oh,
yes.
Yes. I'm so excited. So
tomorrow more so than today.
Yes. And this is so, Gil, you know, within you have the radio background. So when you would do remotes and you would go out, I am a man of the people. I'm going to be distracted tomorrow. Like when this thing starts popping, there's going to be people. So for the layout for our audience, right in front of us is like the Jell-O shot bar, like behind the cameras and stuff. You can't see it. So people will be coming in front of us and behind our wonderful crew to be buying the Jell-O shots. This thing will get a little bit more packed
wow.
as the time goes along. So, yes, it will be very full. I am very excited, and I will probably get in trouble because I'll be talking to people as they come walking by. I'm very excited.
Stormy is looking at you like, oh, great. That sounds great, JVT. That should be really professional.
No, he's not kidding, though. He's been saying it even the whole time we're sitting here. He goes, oh, God, I'm going to get distracted today. I'm going to get distracted. So just I'm mentally preparing. It's going to be awesome, though. And they've already been so hospitable. The owner here, Kevin, has been so great welcoming us last night and kind of giving us the lay of the land of how this all works and when the Jello shots kick off and the story behind it all. And we'll get into a lot of that throughout the course of the next couple of days.
All right. I don't want to steal any of your steam before Money Moves, which starts at the top of the hour. But let's get 2 minutes on hockey and 2 minutes on basketball. Stormy, let's start with the Stanley Cup Final. Game four tonight, Florida up 2-1 in the series. They're a -146 favorite in game number four. Like the NBA, maybe not quite as dramatically, but game four up 2-1. I mean, this is so important in a way that could really be the fulcrum game of the series. How do you see this going tonight at Sunrise?
Well, and it's interesting. I think that because of the way that the game three played out in Sunrise and the dominant performance that Florida had and the agitation with which they brought, everybody is very much so counting out Edmonton altogether. And we had so much talk through two games. Is there any real differentiator between these two right now and the way that they're playing? Not so much. And then you go to game three and it's a blowout and it's all Florida and Florida has to win the rest of it. I'm not sure I necessarily see it that way. And maybe I do have some bias built into that, that I thought Edmonton coming into the series was very much so capable of winning it, and I like them to win it. But for me, Edmonton's got to come out with desperation tonight so that they're not put in true desperation mode, being down three games to one, with Florida after this. So today is a huge critical game. I know we hate saying must win this early in a series, but that very much so feels what it is to me today. And I don't have a bet on the side. I have props, and we'll get into them. I like Evan Bouchard over his shots on goal today. You can probably ladder those. He's somebody that's been cashing that significantly, and there are a few other angles. But side, I don't have one pick today. I lean Edmonton. I lean over, even though everything about the ice tells me it should be an under, yet here we are.
Yeah, don't give it all your bets, because I want people to tune into to Money Moves here at the top. But last thing here on this, if Florida ends up winning this, I asked this of some of our hockey experts earlier in the week. If Florida ends up winning this, where do you rank them? Better than the Tampa Bay Lightning team that won 2 years and got to three straight Stanley Cup Finals teams, like this Florida Panthers team would be in that case?
I would say very similar, and maybe yes, better, because they had the build. They had to lose game one and then that first Stanley Cup final and then come back and win it back-to-back after that versus Tampa that kind of petered out and lost that last one. So maybe yes, maybe they would be better, and then they would have that Florida Sunshine State Supreme.
All right, and before we go, JVT, my goodness, Pacers 2, Thunder 1. Talk about a game four that means everything. I mean, obviously, no one game means everything, but it sure feels like game four in Indiana tomorrow night has that feel to it. Pacers, 6-point dogs. Are you surprised by that number?
So I am and I'm not, right? We were talking about this last night here, actually, at Rocco's. We were having drinks because we were talking about what the opening line was going to be. And I was like, it's probably going to be 6. And sure enough, it opens up 6. And why? Because, Gills, we've seen throughout this entire postseason, for whatever reason, if you lose a game, you get upgraded for the next game. Now, if you're just playing these straight-up losers, you're hitting it well over a 60% clip. In this round, the basic zigzag is 2-0, right? Oklahoma loses game one, they come back and cover game two. Indiana loses game two, they come back, they cover game three, they win outright. So the market is really baking these in. But to your point, man, this is a team that is now 4-4 straight up with a negative 6.9 net rating on the road in this postseason. They have yet to cover a road game, now 0-8 against the spread. You talk about the importance of needing to win this game if you're Oklahoma City. I mean, dude, if you don't, you're going to trust them that they're going to be able to extend their life if they have to go back to Indiana one more time. It's insane.
And you and I agree, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if Indiana pulls this off, if they win this, it's the greatest postseason run ever by any North American sports team that we can think of.
I think you can say that regardless of the result, especially when you factor in the clutch run that Tyrese Halliburton has been on. I think that this should be a run that should be remembered forever despite the result.
Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, the co-host of Money Moves, which is here every single weekday right after a numbers game at, of course, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Behave yourselves, people. Have a good time out there.
Thanks, Gil.
Live from the College World Series in Omaha, Rocco's having themselves a great time down there. Should be a fun weekend. Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha. where all the fun stuff happens. We've done all we can do. Stormy and JBT are, in fact, next from Omaha. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.